السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين، صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة، والحج وصوم رمضان، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا، آمين يا رب العالمين. In reality, the khutbah which takes place in Jum'ah, this is the purpose of coming to the Jum'ah prayer, the khutbah, the sermon, which takes place after the adhan. This is just a short reminder that we normally have. Ideally, the imam shouldn't sit on... When giving this reminder, you shouldn't sit on the minbar, because then people misunderstand and think this to be, or take this to be the khutbah. You should sit on a chair next to the minbar, so that there's no confusion. The people realize it's just a short reminder, and then the khutbah will come later. But the purpose of this reminder is so that we can give, in our own language, a very short reminder that, alhamdulillah, many of us have come to the masjid early. And the purpose of coming to the masjid early on the day of Jum'ah is to gain the maximum reward. Like in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever comes early to Salatul Jum'ah and sits as close as they can to the imam and listens attentively to the sermon, then this person receives the reward of giving a camel in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who come after them, they receive the reward of giving a cow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a goat, and then a sheep, and then a chicken. And then the people who come right at the end, they get the receive the reward of donating an egg in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, the registers are closed. No more names are recorded, no more deeds are recorded. Now, anyone who comes beyond that or after that to the Jum'ah Salah, it will just be a tick. Yes, you got the Jum'ah. But this reward, remember, there's two things. One is fulfilling the obligation. Ek cheez hai, faraiz ko pura karna, fulfilling the obligation. And second thing is to receive the reward. Two separate things here. Many of us are under the misconception that just on account of performing my obligations, I have received the reward as well. It's two separate things, totally. That's why in the hadith we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that everyone who performs their salah, they receive a reward out of 10, a mark out of 10. Everybody. The imam, if you're performing with congregation, the imam and the muqtadis, those who perform their salah behind him, everybody receives their own individual rating or their own individual mark out of 10. Some people get higher. It could be possible that the imam's mark is lower than someone who's standing behind the imam. This is all about your own individual khushu' and your khudu', your concentration and your devotion. What are these two things, khushu' and khudu'? Ulama have explained differently. Hafiz ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi has a book, beautiful book, known as called Khushu' and Khudu' fi Salah. Al-Khushu' wa Al-Khudu' fi Salah. It's translating to English quite nicely, humility in prayer, something like this. So he mentions in there that many scholars say khushu' is the state of the heart, and khudu' is the state of the body. Khushu' means that your heart and your mind are fully focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not distracted at all. You don't allow any other worldly thoughts, any other distractions to come into your mind or your heart when you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is khushu'. And khudu' is the body's stillness. And apne a'za aur jawarih ko Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ke samne is andaaz mein rakhna ke bilkul apne, matlab jo hai, sanjeedgi ke saath aur badan mein koi harkat na ho. That your body doesn't move. Is cheez ko kehte hain khudu', Arabi mein. This is known as khudu'. To the extent that Hafiz ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, khudu' also includes that when you're standing behind the imam, you are considerate about your Muslim, fellow Muslim who is standing next to you more than you are about yourself. اگر میں کسی کے پاس نماز میں کھڑا ہوں تو اگر وہ پتہ نہیں ان کو زیادہ جگہ چاہیے یا اس طرح تھوڑا مجھے دھکا بھی دے دے تو اس سے مجھے دل میں کوئی اثر نہ پڑے. I adopt humility when standing in front of Allah Ta'ala, and that humility is reflected upon the person that I am standing next to as well. That I keep my... So I want to stand comfortably, I want to put my feet out, and I want to really time... But because I'm squashed, so I'll just stand however. Even if I have to drop my hands, I'll drop my hands. More important, it is more important for me to ensure that the people next to me are comfortable. That's part of khudu in sajda. People complain, oh, this person, he pushes me too much, and this person does this, and this person moves too much. It doesn't matter. That's why the obligatory salah, the fard salah, is supposed to be a short and brief salah. The point is you're fulfilling the command of Allah. We misunderstand this. We think I have to be most comfortable in this salah. I have to be most relaxed. I need my space. I need my zone. I need to be really... But the reality is no, you're fulfilling the command of Allah. Look at how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in would stand in ijtima'i salah, in congregational salah, in Masjid al-Nabawi. There was no carpet. It would rain and the floor would become wet. You know, when they would go in sajda, when it would be wet, they'd have patches of earth upon their forehead when they would get up. That's how they would perform the salah. The point is not comfort and luxury. We've totally we've turned it on its head. We want to be as comfortable, as relaxed, as enjoyable as possible. The masjid has to be 30 degrees Celsius when we walk in. We have to feel like, mashallah, fully looked after. So it's totally misunderstanding. Rather, when we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the height of humility. Tawadu. Tawadu in front of Allah. Okay, oh Allah, I'm standing in front of you, I'm looking down, I am bowing, I'm going in sajda. All these movements are movements of humility and humbleness. And similarly, I am going to display humility and humbleness with my fellow Muslims who I am standing with. Urdu mein kehte hai na, ek hi saf mein khada hai. Ek hi saf mein khade hai. Mahmood o Ayaz. What's after that? Iske baad kya hai? Na koi banda something. Ha, na koi banda nawaz. That in one saf, you got one row, you got Mahmood, who is the king, Mahmood Ghaznawi. It's a reference to Mahmood Ghaznawi, rahmatullahi alayh. Bahut bade badshah the, Musalman, bahut nek insan. So in one row, you've got Mahmood Ghaznawi, rahmatullahi alayh, standing, and right next to him is his servant Ayaz. There's no difference. When standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that, okay, all of the nobles, all the rich people stand on the first row, and all those who are second class citizens or whatever, they stand second row or third row. No. Everybody. That's the beauty of Islam. The tawazu. Allah ta'ala ke saamne, sab ek jaise hain. There's no kisi mein koi, matlab koi farq nahi hai. That there's no difference between us. So the point is this, humility inside of salah. Anyway, where did I go from? So, so I was mentioning about reward. That nowadays we are under the assumption that just because I fulfill my obligation, I've ticked the box, doesn't matter how I did it, that Allah Ta'ala is happy with me and I've done my job, I've done my bit. We must misunderstand ubudiyya and worship. Ubudiyya, servitude, devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that we are making Allah happy. We are striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that, oh Allah has said I've got to do this, so I'll just do it anyhow. I need to perform my Isha Salah. I want to perform it as late as I possibly can, just before I get into bed, when I know I'm extremely tired, extremely sleepy, extremely drowsy. So I'm going to perform it very, very quickly, without even knowing what's going on. I just need to get into bed. How is that fulfilling the right of Allah? How am I making Allah Ta'ala pleased with that Salah? جب ہم کسی بھی عبادت کرتے ہیں ہر وقت یہ فکر ہونی چاہیے کہ اس عبادت کے ذریعے میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی خوشنودی چاہ رہا ہوں, اللہ تعالیٰ کو راضی کرنا چاہتا ہوں, نہ کہ بس یہ ایک ذمہ داری ہے مجھ پر, کسی طرح اس کو ادا کر لو بس کام ہو گیا. نو, دس از ویری رانگ. دا پرسن پرفارمز آل دیز تھنگس اینڈ دین وین دے ڈائی اینڈ دے سٹینڈ ان فرنٹ آف اللہ اینڈ دے سی دیز ایکشنز Right, and they are so ashamed that is it this action I performed? You don't even want to look at your own salah. You don't even want to face your own salah because there was nothing to it. There was no reality to it. There was no structure to it. There was no body to it. When you said Allahu Akbar, after that what happened? You have no idea. Because we were thinking about how long is this going to take? I need to get to bed. I need to perform my sunnah and my witr and my... Oh, you know what? I have to do it quickly. So it was like a burden. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that When you are doing tilawat of the Qur'an, then you need to be enjoying yourself. It should not be that you're doing tilawat of the Qur'an and you're checking to see how many pages you have left for the para to finish, for the juz to finish. Many of us do tilawat like this. It's a chore, you know. Yek bas ek bojh hai. Mujhe ek para tilawat karni hai, abhi isme itne safahat hai, abhi kitne baki reh gaye, jaldi karo. So ye jo hai, humne ibadat ko ek bojh bana li. And we're not going to benefit from that ibadat. When we regard ibadah and worship of Allah to be a burden upon ourselves, we're not going to benefit from it. And that's why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhim, in his Riyadhus Salihin, he has a beautiful chapter, Babul Iqtisadi fil Ibadah, the chapter of moderation in the ibadah of Allah. Allah Ta'ala ki ibadat mein miyanalawi ikhtiyar karna, ke bas itna zyada na karna ke insaan phir tak jaye, bored ho jaye, aur isi tarah itna kam bhi na karna ke Allah Ta'ala ka haq bhi ada na ho. A person has to have a balance in doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The best ibadah, the most beloved deed in the sight of Allah, are those actions which are done consistently and constantly, though they may be small and little. Allah ta'ala is not, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلُّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah doesn't become bored until you become bored. Allah Ta'ala will continue to give the reward. But you and ulama mentioned from this here that Allah doesn't become bored. What boredom means, I don't want anything to do with it. I can't be bothered with it. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't have that attitude towards you until you have that attitude towards Him. But look at our ibadah, look at our worship, everything. Even our obligatory worships. It's just a burden. We just don't want to do it. It's just, you know, it's just a pain for us, just difficult for us. So if we have this attitude of boredom in doing ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that attitude is going to be reciprocated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that we will not benefit from the blessings of that worship. We will not benefit from the special rahmah of Allah that was supposed to come as a consequence of my act of worship. That's why we need to have a routine, a timetable, that on a daily basis a person is doing certain acts of worship that they then start to enjoy. Anything when you do it initially is difficult. Like our brothers who say, huh, you know, the other day, where is our Hafsab? I don't know where he is. So myself, Hafsab, and our Abbas baby were somewhere. And this brother said, ha, I only come to Masjid on Jumu'ah anyway. So I've been living this many years in Ashton, I only come to Masjid on Jumu'ah anyway. Now the problem with that statement is this. If you are only doing the worship of Allah for one single salah, in your, I don't know how many hours make up 1 week, in that entire week you are only performing one salah in front of Allah, then your salah better be a golden salah. Think about it. If Allah Ta'ala ne mujhe itne sare ni'maton se nawaza hai, itne sare ni'maton, har lamhe ke andar Allah Ta'ala ki karoron ni'mate insaan par baras raha hai, lekin main pure hafte mein Allah Ta'ala ki shukr ada karne ke liye sirf ek hi namaz ada karunga, to is namaz ko pata nahi itna khoobsurat mujhe bana ke pesh karna padega ke iske zariye se Allah Ta'ala ke sab haq ada ho gaye. Theek hai na baat? Ke sahi hai na? Ke agar main hafte mein sirf ek cheez, agar koi mujhe hadiya tohfa de, somebody gives me a gift, 10 pounds, 100 pounds, I'll say, Jazakallah, Jazakallah. Har dafa mujhe 10 pounds denga, main kahunga, Jazakallah, Jazakallah. Main aapke waste kuch kaam kar sakun ya nahi, aap mujhe bata dein. Allah Ta'ala is giving us millions of blessings in a second, and I say, every second of my life, keeping my heart beating, all the functions of my body resuming, and oxygen, and subhanallah, good health, and clothing, and a roof above my head, and everything. So many things I know and so many things I don't even know. So many things I can't even keep track of. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try and count the blessings of Allah, you will be incapable. You can't do it. Because we have no idea how many things Allah is doing for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I feel in my mind that it's justified that I pay Allah back by one salah in the week. That's the salah of Jum'ah. The way the Christians have done with their, you know, once a day on the Sunday, and the Jews, the Jewish people are more religious. But this is the point. Then salah has to be some really special salah. But ask the brothers who are volunteers and who watch people come in, the last people to enter on Jumu'ah salah, the last people and the first people out. The last people to enter and the first people out are the people who you will only see on Jumu'ah. This is what shaitan does to us. Shaitan makes us feel, ha, you just fulfill one obligation, which is that one Jum'ah Salah, and that's it. You've ticked all of the boxes. You have made Allah so happy with you. Now if anything goes wrong in your life, it's not your fault. You've done your bit. And this is how shaitan keeps us in this delusion and this ghurur, that we feel, you know what, we've done our bit. So it's very, very important that we snap out of it. That worshipping Allah Ta'ala is not just about ticking boxes. It's about pleasing my Allah. Ke Rab razi ho jaye. Maqsad ye hai ke Rab razi ho jaye. Allah is happy with me. So Allah is happy with me. Allah Ta'ala has said you have to not just do one salah in the week. You have to do five times salah on a daily basis. And your salah can't just be done anyhow. But you have to have your concentration. You have to have devotion in salah. We have to make our salah the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's salah was. That إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ صَلَّى. Anything that concerned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything that worried him, anything that bothered him, straight away he would resort to salah. That was his number one solution. Look at the situation now globally, in Palestine, and what is happening. It's dreadful, it's terrible. But how many of us have prayed two rak'ahs of salah and begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah please, only you can help them. Even if I lobby the politicians, and even if the politicians are all supporting me and all speaking what I, you know, all voicing my opinion, does that mean that that country will then automatically change what they are doing? And does that mean that automatically that influence will be there? We haven't studied history. We haven't studied history. That this country, there was a time when they had control over, they had governance over Palestine, the land of Palestine. It was known as Palestine proper, or the British Mandate on Palestine. But when they couldn't control the situation anymore, it was out of their hands, they just wiped their hands of it and they left it. So how do we feel now that they will go in there and sort everything out? So we've fooled ourselves that as long as I spend plenty of time campaigning and plenty of time complaining about the politicians, I've done my job as a Muslim. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the one who has brought so many great nations in the past, and Allah is the one who has removed and destroyed so many great nations in the past. All in the control of Allah. History tells us that no empire lasts forever. History tells us. We don't read history. We just think, oh, now there are some superpowers in the world, they will stay forever. That's not what history says. You've had superpowers who remain in power for 400, 500, 600 years. And then everything finished overnight. No trace of them left, we don't even remember them anymore unless we are taking a history class. So the point is, my dear respected brothers and elders, this connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bonding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we have a problem, when we have a situation that we don't know how to deal with, we need to look for the solution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only Allah can provide that solution. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوُ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah ta'ala mentions the Holy Quran that if Allah ta'ala afflicts you with a difficulty, then the only one who can remove that difficulty is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, if Allah ta'ala makes you go through some good time, Allah ta'ala makes you go through some enjoyable time, then this will be a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. So we have to remember, our salah, our ibadat should not become burdens for us. Rather, every act of ibadah we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to enjoy it. We have to feel, okay, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right. Say durood sharif, sending this salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Jumu'ah, how many times are we sending salawat? Are we tracking it? Subhanallah, people have apps, they track everything now. They track their footsteps, they track their heartbeat, they track everything, they have watches, they track. We are concerned about tracking everything, but we don't track our spirituality, which is more important than our physical health. Your physical health can be weak. If your spiritual health is strong, when you die, you meet Allah, you'll be happy. Physical health is secondary. Spiritual health is more important. We have all of these tasbihs and counters and on your phones and subhanAllah and mashallah, people do get creative and you do have a lot of apps and things out there. How many times salawat and durood are we sending? On the Friday especially. When many of the ulama have mentioned that the best form of ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Friday is durood sharif. Salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the faraid, Jumay ke din, faraiz ke baad, farz namazon ke baad, ya agar Ramzan ho to farz roze ke baad, sab se aham tareen ibadat, or afzal tareen ibadat durood sharif hai, Jumay ke din. So how many times are we sending durood sharif upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when we send durood sharif, what's the intention? What's the intention behind durood? First of all, this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. It's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, it's a haq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka haq hai. This is the right of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The minimum we can do. There are maximum, there are other things, you know, trying to speak like him, walk like him, talk like him, dress like him, behave like him. There are all these other things, but the minimum we can do, and which is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to do, is send salawat, send it excessively. When Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, how much of my time, I have time which is fixed for dua. I have time which I have stipulated and fixed and assigned for dua, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much of that time should I use for durood sharif and salawat? Should I use 1/3 of that time? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, that's very good, but if you increase it, it will be better for you. He said, Ya Rasulullah, should I use half of that time? Yes, but if you increase it, it will be better for you. Should I use 3/4 of that time? Yes, but if you increase it, it will be better for you. Ya Rasulullah, every second that I have stipulated and fixed. This is a sahih hadith. That every second, every moment that I have devoted to doing dua to Allah, I will use that to send durood sharif to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَن تُغْفَرُ ذَنْبَكَ وَتُكْشَفْ عَنْكَ هَمَّكَ أو كما قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That إِذَن, if you do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of your sins and Allah will remove all of your parashaniya, all of your difficulties. Durood sharif. How many times are we sending on a daily basis? Our tasbih counter should go crazy. It should be 1,000, 2,000. Because we're driving, how much time do we spend driving? How much time do we spend just sitting around at work, just waiting around for phone calls or for something or the other? We can just carry on. I remember one brother I used to work with, he used to tell me, he used to have a target of like 10,000 durood that he would send on a daily basis at work, because he wasn't talking to anyone, he was just busy doing whatever he was doing. He'd just be reading, reciting. By the end of the day, we should be, alhamdulillah, today I sent 10,000 durood. Today I sent 15,000 durood. It's not impossible. You can send 100 durood in, you know, 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, especially if you do an easy durood. The point is, let's increase our ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Allah ta'ala, not as a burden, and let's not regard ibadah as burdensome, because otherwise we will not benefit from our acts of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all the tawfiq, inshaAllah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الكبر لا
پچھلے جمعے کو جو کلیکشن ہوئی تھی 955 پاؤنڈس, اللہ تعالیٰ تمام ساتھیوں کی ڈونیشنز کو قبول فرمائے. اور اسی طرح ایک اور اعلان ہے کہ انشاءاللہ اس اتوار کو, مطلب پرسو, مغرب سے لے کر عشاء تک ہمارے مسجد کے اندر ایک سیرت کانفرنس ہے. تو الحمدللہ یہ سالانہ کانفرنس ہے, ہم رکھتے ہیں ہر سال, تو جس میں ماشاءاللہ باہر سے بھی مہمان بھی آتے ہیں, بیانات بھی ہوگا اس میں, اور ساتھ ساتھ قرات ہوگا اور نعت وغیرہ بھی پڑھی جائے گی. اور اس کے بعد عشاء نماز کے بعد انشاءاللہ کھانے کا بھی ہم نے مطلب انتظام ہوا ہے, تو ساتھ انشاءاللہ ضرور اس میں شرکت کرنے کی کوشش فرمائیں. اور اسی طرح ماؤں بہنوں کے لیے بھی اوپر ہم نے انتظام کی ہے, تو وہ بھی آ سکتے ہیں اور اس میں شرکت کر سکتے ہیں, اور انشاءاللہ ان کے لیے بھی کھانے کا بھی انتظام کی گئی ہے. تو ساتھی اس کو یاد خیال رکھیں انشاءاللہ. سو انشاءاللہ آن سنڈے, دس سنڈے, دا ڈے آفٹر ٹمورو, وی ہیو اور انیول سیرا کانفرنس. سو آئی نو وی ہیو دس گلوبل سچویشن ود اور برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز ان فلسطین, اینڈ دیٹ از آف کورس آن ایوری بڈیز مائنڈ, بٹ اٹس ویری امپورٹنٹ دیٹ وی کنیکٹ ود Islam and with deen and with these kind of programs as well, to rejuvenate and to reawaken in our hearts the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love of deen, so that inshallah we can connect with the deen and we can improve and increase our own bond and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this inshallah Allah ta'ala's mercy will come. It's just a matter of time. We have to keep making dua, we have to keep bonding, keep attaching, keep connecting ourselves with Allah Ta'ala, Allah's mercy will come. Allah Ta'ala does not leave the oppressors, to have an open hand. And if it's just Allah Ta'ala gives them respite. Allah Ta'ala, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدَ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Qur'an, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Give them respite. Let them feel like they are advancing, let them feel like they're moving forward. When I clamp down on them, I will finish them, I will destroy them. So Allah Ta'ala gives them respite, Allah Ta'ala lets them extend their hand for a while, and then Allah Ta'ala eventually inshallah will clamp down. Allah Ta'ala is always on the side of the oppressors, on the side of those who are oppressed. Like in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, اتقي دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينه وبين الله حجاب. Beware of the dua of the mazloom, of the oppressed person, because there is no barrier, there is no hijab between it and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how many thousands of people, millions of people are oppressed? All of their du'as are reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dua of mazloom, you don't even have to be a Muslim to be a mazloom. If you are a helpless person and you feel that you can't do anything and somebody is wronging you, just that feeling of helplessness you feel in your heart, ulama say this is dua enough. That this is sufficient for Allah Ta'ala's nusra and Allah's help to come eventually. So Allah's help will come. But we want to be part of that. So we want to contribute. We want it to be that on the day of Qiyamah we did our bit. Making dua, financially contributing, doing whatever is possible for us to do. Even when it comes to lobbying and petitioning and everything we can do to assist and help from our own part. So this is why it's very important that we attach ourselves to these gatherings, these conferences. So it's a seerah conference, we only have it once a year. So it's an annual one, so inshallah we want it to be that everybody turns up inshallah. So all the brothers who are here and all the sisters who can hear me over the receivers, please try and attend yourselves. It's not just for children. Sometimes last year we had this, and year before, we just had the little, the tiny tots, all of them turned up. Now the problem with that is when the speaker is going to deliver a speech and he looks at the little children, then his speech is going to be focused on them. But if we turn up, then inshallah we ourselves can benefit, and inshallah we can hear those things which will be beneficial for us as well inshallah. So please make the intention Sunday between Maghrib and Isha. So Maghrib Salah is going to be about 3:53, 3:54 until Isha Salah. So Isha is at 7 o'clock. After Isha we have food, inshallah, delicious biryani and halwa, mashallah, like every year we have prepared. And so inshallah you can eat that and you can go as well inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله مخرج أوليائه من الظلمات إلى النور ومورد أعدائه ورطات الغرور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله المخرج للخلائق من الديجور صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين لم تغرهم الحياة الدنيا ولم يغرهم بالله الغرور ولم تغرهم بالله الغرور صلاة تتوالى على ممر الدهور ومكر الساعات والشهور أما بعد فمفتاح السعادة التيقظ والفطنة ومنبع الشقاوة الغرور والغفلة فالأكياس هم الذين انشرحت صدورهم للاقتداء بدلائل الاهتداء والمغرور هو الذي ضاق صدره عن الهدى باتباع الهوى فلم ينفتح بصيرته ليكون بهداية نفسه كفيلا وبقي في العمى فاتخذ النفس قائده والشيطان دليلا ومن كان في هذه أعمى فهو في الآخرة أعمى وأضل سبيلا وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى فيه بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور وقال تعالى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور وقال تعالى ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإنهم إلا يظنون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى أم للإنسان ما تمنى فلله الآخرة والأولى بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأعلمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل، وأقرأهم لكتاب الله أبي بن كعب، ألا وإن لكل أمة أمينا، وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه. وقال: الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Please straighten the rows. Safi durus farma lijiye. Khali jagahon ko poor farma lijiye. Please ensure all gaps are filled. Mobile phones are turned off. Please ensure brothers standing shoulder to shoulder. Our heels are on the back line.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى، ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Al-Sirata Al-Mustaqim. Sirata Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى سيدنا مولانا محمد بارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اغفر وارحم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك وأسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.